Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Peter Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering the MegaCast.
Sometimes I wish we were recording before I hit record.
I know.
All people hear is us laughing.
You go through this all the time on the podcast.
Oh,
too.
My God.
I was like, we should put that in. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even record it. So I couldn't, we don't even have the we can't even make that decision. No. It's probably for the best that we don't. Oh, my gosh. It's good to see you, Ted.
Steve, full disclosure.
Okay.
I ran into a mutual friend of ours who works in your wrestling world.
Oh, can you share who it is?
Yeah, Cody.
Cody, okay, Von Whistler?
Yeah.
My dude.
So right into the other night, I was like, how was your weekend? He was like, pretty good. We had a SOS on Friday.
Great crowd.
I go, does Mix's head even fit through the door anymore?
Yes.
He almost like, now that he's all elite. And then we spent like 3 minutes just, oh, like he's like, yeah, we got to get him a special entrance.
I know, I was mad I couldn't find my All Elite Wrestling t-shirt. I have one somewhere. I was going to come out with that on and, you know, just totally, oh, yeah. Got to slap a girl, though, at the last SOS Pro Wrestling.
All right, I wanted to ask you about that because I saw you were doing an intergender match.
Yeah,
is that what you call it?
I'm wrestling a wrestler. Whenever someone's like, you're fighting a girl, I'm like, no, I'm fighting a wrestler.
Do me a favor. Say it like I do. Oh, Steve's out there fighting ladies.
I'm fighting ladies. It's me versus Kikyo. So it was great. Dude, wrestling is such a weird thing, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about it later, but like, I don't always go super behind the scenes, but so, you know, obviously this is something that we plan out and we talk about some stuff, and like,
yeah.
So it's not like I just walk in there and fight Kikyo, like,
you just walk in there and smack her, like, damn.
But she came out and she's like, oh, my boss is here, he's, I can't remember if it was he or she, but they're excited to see you because they're fans of the station, and they're hoping that you're going to slap me. And I'm like, okay, what do you do at your job? I love Kikyo. She's the funniest girl, dude.
She will crack you up. Gonna slap
you. That was the thing. She's like, I'm like, oh, light bulb. I'm like, how about I slap you right at the beginning of the match?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah. And then I'll do my usual thing where it's like, I usually come in and I like maybe mean mug my opponent and I walk to the second rope and I get up and I pose for the crowd so they could boo me, right?
All right.
So it's like, that's like usually my entrance. I don't have really any crazy stuff that I do. Nothing fully mapped out. I just walk out and just kind of have my arms out with my stupid jacket.
Let them soak it in.
Soak it in. Soak every second of it in. So I get in there and I start jaw-jacking with her before I even got to the second rope and I just slap her. And dude, the crowd... Oh, it doesn't like one day the video will be posted up on YouTube pretty soon, I bet. But it's on IWTV if you're a subscriber. Dude, that crowd was like, oh, I see if I can find the audio of it.
I mean, I bet they were.
Oh, dude, it was.
But they already hate you.
Right. And I don't usually do that. And I typically wouldn't slap a woman. Like, even like if I have matches
with
women.
That's a good call, Steve.
I mean, in the wrestling world. Like, I'm even pretty strategic about when I punch a female. Like, I know it doesn't matter.
Sounds so crazy.
I know. Like,
but we're talking about wrestling.
Make believe.
But it's just hard to see you. And you're just like, yeah, man, I'm usually pretty careful.
Right. Like, I like that. I want to make sure I build up to it. So it's like, I'm not just a dude coming in and punching a girl.
Right.
You know, like, I want to be like, hey, establish that. Dude, we're on the same level. They're a wrestler, I'm a wrestler. And eventually you get lost in that world. And it's no different than like a superhero fight with Wonder Woman versus the bad guys.
Yeah,
that's my mentality with it. But so I wouldn't typically just like walk right out and slap. But yeah, so you can see I'm going up to her. Oh, let me get the audio because the audio is pretty great on it. Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, when I did jiu-jitsu for a little bit, I had to tap often to women.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so.
So now I'm coming out.
A verified situation indeed.
There's Cody. There's Cody talking. There's Kikyo. That's Dave. He sucks.
Like it or not, Steve Biggs has been on one hell of a roll. That's not without a little help from his fanboy.
Oh!
Okay.
And now look, I go in pose, right? And then here comes Kikyo. Power bomb!
Boom, right into the match. I was pretty fired up about that. So she instantly got her comeuppance on me.
Oh, man. Sorry, that's just why. I mean, you were just like,
Smack!
Damn!
That's why I love professional wrestling. Only in professional wrestling can you get away with such absurdity. And people are just like, oh, and then happy that I got my comeuppance soon after that.
Did you win?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm the verified champ. Not the verified champ. I'm the SOS champ.
Oh, you are the SOS champ.
Yeah, I'm still the SOS champ.
That's right.
Champ.
You lost verified to
Adam Brooks, the loose ledge from Australia.
All right.
Where he calls everybody the C word and it's hilarious.
I thought you lost it to that other dude. Curious George or Handsome George or
Gentleman Jervis? I want to wrestle Curious George. At SOS, it makes sense. We have wrestling monkeys.
I you know what? That should be my character, Curious George. Sometimes I come out with a woman. Sometimes I come out with a dude. Like, I don't know. I'm curious. Like, is he a wrestler? We don't know what he is.
He just goes in there and bear hugs them.
Right? He just dates both men and women. And every once in a while, a guy in a yellow hat comes out. It's like, Ted, too much.
Oh, dude, since we're talking about it, it was super fun. Thanks to everybody who comes out. They're always a good time. The next SOS show is going to be happening in Tacoma. I think it's the first Friday or a second, let's see, second Friday. So February 10th at Edison Square. And it's me and Daniel Maccabi, which is actually, he's a dream match of mine. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Me and him being able to finally, we've been trying to have this match for years. And then the pandemic hit and that canceled it when it was supposed to happen at WAC. And then he's kind of towards the end of his run of wrestling. His body's kind of breaking down. He's like, I'm not sure. It's kind of like what most wrestlers say. We're not sure if we're done, but we're probably one injury away from being done. You know what I mean? So I don't know how much longer he's going to get to do it. So I thought my window of opportunity to wrestle Maccabi was going to be gone. He's a technical, great wrestler. So the opportunity to have that happen is going to be awesome. So hopefully people come out for that. But the AEW thing has been nuts.
All right.
Man, I'm getting all these different people following, still to this day, like messages, comments. Like, it's pretty flattering. And like I told you up there, like, I'm someone that gets in my head a lot because of just like jumping into wrestling late in my life, the radio thing helping like get me these opportunities. Obviously, I have to put in the work to still do well at these opportunities. But I always have it in my own anxiety in my head that some people locally just don't, they just tolerate me, you know?
All right.
So when the AEW thing happened, and it was such like a love fest from people who like I respect, but I was like, I don't know if they really, I don't know if they love or hate me. I don't know. You know,
all right.
I think we're cool, but I don't know. And then just see that outpouring of love from me getting that opportunity and having that fun moment. And then it like kind of becoming a fun little thing that happened in that ring with the hat. It's been pretty humbling. Like, it made me realize, oh, there's more people on my side than I realized.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the great listeners that have been commenting. And it's been so. And then one of the ones that happened that I thought was really, before we get to the TED Talk.
How's your throat?
It's finally getting better. It's still not.
I was going to say, it still sounds like it's a little tender.
Yeah, it's still not there. That's insane, dude. It's over a week. Granted, I wrestled and I was yelling at Kikyo because, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I was yelling at the crowd.
You can't just smack her. You got to yell at her, too.
Oh, 100%.
Told you.
Yeah. So Aaron Jones writes like a really cool post on his Aaron Jones like music page.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And it says, super proud to know this guy right here. Congrats on your debut, my brother. And then he shared the picture of me in the ring in Portland at AEW.
All right.
I'm like, dude, that was cool. Like, him and I have known each other for years. Obviously, I've been very happy for his success.
Yeah.
So to see him write that meant the world to me. But then, of course, there's always someone that has to comment on there. And unfortunately,
one of our the podcast guys just went and saw him over in England.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is he opening for someone or just doing his own thing?
I can't remember.
Okay.
He saw him. He was like, dude, that guy puts on a great show. And I was like,
such
yeah.
a good show, man.
Yeah.
So one of his fans now has lost respect for Aaron for being
for
proud.
For liking wrestling?
For being proud of a wrestler.
All right.
Wrestling is such a weird thing. I've been thinking about this a lot. And it actually came up in one of at my church. My wrestling came up in a sermon. It's very weird. It's like there's this stigma against wrestling. And I think it's because people still want to make it seem like, you know, it's not real. It's not really a sport. And it's like, I like to go to Filthy Tom Lawler, who's like a UFC guy who now yep. also does professional wrestling. He's like, guys, can we stop comparing it to things? Wrestling is wrestling. It's not, wrestling is not MMA. Wrestling is not sports. It's wrestling. It's no different than like music is music. You're not like, hey, you play guitar. That's kind of like acting, right? But with like an instrument. It's like, no, right. You're a guitarist. Like, wrestling is just wrestling. Like, let's just stop making it into something that it's not. And it's appreciated for being an art form. But people don't want to do that, obviously. And it's
the only thing I will say is wrestling Twitter is a lot.
It is.
Every Oh, sorry. What, Jesus, Ted. This is like every freaking event. It's like, this is unreal. This is unbelievable what's happening. I'm just like, guys, there's like, you guys, there's a pay-per-view for WWE like once a month. You watch AEW now. I'm just like, sometimes it's like, calm down.
And then I get,
I don't live tweet every damn NFL game I watch.
No. I mean, could you imagine doing that? Well, some people do. Like, I mean, it's just as insufferable when I watch somebody that's commenting on a Seahawks game each play, and it's like, dude,
exactly.
There's four quarters.
Yeah,
they're not winning right now, but there's a very good chance they're going to win later. You don't need to just crap all over the team right now in the first quarter. So this guy, this made me chuckle, I appreciate there's like listeners and people that are fans of A-Rod that probably don't even know who I am,
right?
That have come to bat and try to like tell this. One guy even just basically just said "f off, dude" for what he said, which I thought was funny. But this guy writes, how can you be so proud to know a effing wrestler? Or as Ted would say, a f***ing wrestler.
Sorry. Yes! I like it, Steve!
You know what? I can't leave you out there alone. If you're going to get bleeped, I'm going to get bleeped.
I'll tag you in.
All right, nice. He goes, a blanking wrestler. Be proud. This is the best part. Be proud of knowing somebody like Eddie Vedder or something like a certain jazz festival. Still a long way to go, maturity.
Well, that guy just sucks.
What in the world?
Be proud
is that?
Of knowing Eddie Vedder.
And that was the best part. Is like A-Rod even goes, I'm pretty sure Steve does know the guy that you're crapping on knows Eddie Vedder, and I'm pretty sure Eddie knows him. I'm like, well, that's a stretch, but you know, I appreciate that. Me and Mike are best friends, of course. I was like, what in a weird
that is. That's just a guy. Like, all right. Well, I also don't
think that stigma against wrestlers.
Wrestlers and some people are just like that. You can only be one lane to them.
Yes.
Right?
Like, so how dare you like wrestling?
Right. Like, Rich Eisen tweets out stuff all the time. It's like, he tweets about other sports, but he's on the NFL Network, right? He was the first. He was there day one, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I like, sometimes he just tweets out old clips of him on SportsCenter, and he's like, this is for the stick-to-football crowd.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, he can like other sports.
Well, and at the end of the day, like, I think the guy, and I almost was going to reply, I'm like, it ain't worth my energy. It ain't worth my time. And honestly, people that, like, been going to bat, my feelings are not hurt by anything that guy said. I appreciate it, but you don't need to. You can just laugh him off because that's all he is a joke. But in my head, I'm like, are you not really paying attention to what A-Rod just wrote? This has nothing to do with me being a wrestler. This has everything to do with a friend being happy that a friend got to accomplish a dream of theirs.
Correct.
And that's all that it boils down to. A friend is proud of a friend. It could be music. It could be acting. It could be painting. It could be comedy. It could be whatever it is. That friend is proud of a friend. And I was like, clearly, by how miserable you seem to be, you don't have any friends, so you don't know what it's like to have somebody be proud of you for accomplishing something. But it's like, that's what it all boils down to. It has nothing to do with wrestling. It has everything to do with A-Rod's proud of his dude.
Yeah.
And that meant a lot to me. And his comments.
Facebook's, I mean, look, social media is just a cesspool.
Facebook's the worst.
Facebook, hands down, is the worst.
And I've been trying to be a little bit more active on my Steve Miggs page by posting some of the AEW stuff. You know, it's just because they send it to you. They want you to share it. I'm like, I should probably be better at that. And every time I see I get notifications, I cringe because I'm like, Facebook is a cesspool of miserable people for the most part. There's a lot of good people, too. There's some, obviously, there's pros to it. And then B, it's like, oh, I got to listen to people complain about me wrestling. You know what I mean? Like that, because it's such a like a weird reaction to wrestling. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like, no one freaks out. Like, if I said I was doing like broad, like acting, I was performing in like an off, you know, a play. I was on Fifth Avenue Theater and it was a dream. Like, nobody would be like, dude, that's dumb. They'd be like, or if my band was playing at the Paramount, nobody would be like, dude, I always love when band people try and give me crap about wrestling. I'm like, dude, you're 50 something years old and you're still playing in a band. That's just, there's a lot of parallels between what you're making fun of me for doing.
Yeah.
But whatever. Off my soapbox.
Look, it's even with football people, right?
Mm.
Now, look, it's cool. I'm trying to think of how I could say this without sounding like an a-hole, but it's just like,
be an a-hole. You're already cursed on the radio, the podcast.
Like, I love watching football. Nothing makes me happier than sitting around watching a Seahawks game or a Maryland football game. But also in the springtime, like, I'm watching English Premier League, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'll watch XFL, but it's not like, I still struggle with spring football. And people are like, well, if you love football, why wouldn't you watch it? I'm like, well, college is the real minor leagues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So right. It's like people are all in on one thing. It's like, what was I going to say? Like Chad Johnson, right? Ocho Cinco. People always give him crap because he's a big soccer guy. And it's like, right, well, he played football. Can he not watch another sport? And he's actually good at soccer.
It's so weird when people are like that. Like, you see it sometimes even when hockey players are playing soccer in the...
Oh, to warm up.
To warm up. And right. People are like...
And most of them are European.
Right.
Or a lot of them, sorry.
And then some people are like, dude, you're a hockey player. Soccer sucks. That's a bunch of people who die, blah, blah, blah. Like, what the hell is wrong? It's like, what is wrong with you?
The best is, I like it when people call it, like, communist ball. And it's like, listen, if you're an American, real quick, the NFL works so well because the big clubs give back to the small clubs. That's how Green Bay frickin' exists. That's how Buffalo exists in this league.
Yeah.
And there's rules on stuff. Right? It's almost like a socialist system. Now, if you want to be a capitalist in the Premier League or the Spanish League, if we want Steve Meigs, we can just show up with a bag of money and buy him. Like, there is nothing socialist or communist about soccer. You want a dude? Go buy him.
Yep. Hey, W. Right. Give me those bags of money, as Danhausen would say. Yeah. I'm out.
Right? That's what I'm saying. When people say that stuff, it's like, you really don't understand the sports world at all.
People are just so weird, man. It's also the same like when like people are like, oh, keep my... You know, so some athlete says something that's borderline political. It's most of the time, it's not even political. It's more about like a certain civil rights thing.
Yeah.
A certain like just justice for everybody to be accepted for who they are, however they look, or whatever they be. And so it's like, I appreciate if you keep your politics out of sports. And it's like,
yeah, but you'll vote for Herschel Walker, who has zero qualities besides a Heisman Trophy.
But if that same person right. said something that you agreed with when it came to politics or certain rights that people have or don't have, you would just be like, man, that's so refreshing that you're just speaking your mind.
Yeah, and right, politics is an easy one, but yeah, it goes back and forth all the time.
Everything, yeah. People are weird, man. Moral of the story, people are weird.
People are weird. People are great, too. There's a lot of awesome people, but there are some strange people.
Damn,
I deal with them all the time.
Oh, we both do.
Yeah, I'm just like... Sometimes I was just like, I don't know where you're coming from, man.
I sometimes get tweets and messages from people. And like you said, 95% of the people are awesome. But then there's that 5%. You're like, what are you even talking about? Like, how did you even get to that conclusion? Or why do you think like this? Get off social media. You're banned.
One guy keeps trying to make the same joke insulted me. And I'm like, right, you keep tagging me.
Right.
What do you expect to happen? Like, I'm not going to respond to you. I'm not going to like it. You keep saying it like, all right, keep putting it out in the ether. Like, have you ever been around real people? When you tell it for the second time and nobody laughs, table that joke.
Yeah, yeah. Take that as a note, like in your head. Like, this didn't work. I know BJ even this morning was just like, did you see blah, blah, blah? What they said on social media. It's like some listener that just constantly wants to troll him and so then throws us all into it. And I'm like, no. He's like, but he tagged you in all of these. I haven't muted. And BJ just started... dying laughing. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. No, dude. Like, as soon as you get to that point where, like, you're just pushing it and you're just, like, you're getting on, like, you're just being annoying and being a jerk. Like, I'm not even going to give you the satisfaction of knowing that I blocked you because I know you'll brag about that. So I'm just going to mute you. Just keep talking.
I love that button. And sometimes it's just the amount of stuff you send me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like...
I had to mute a lot of people after the AEW thing. There's some random wrestling fans from across the world that were writing me, and they were writing some weird stuff.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
People want to get inside your tights?
Well, you know... No.
TED Talks. Starring B-Tech Smith.
I don't know why I went down that route.
Well, I understand. They're nice tights. They're sparkly. They're silver.
Look out there. Look at all swole. Well, you know what, Steve? You brought up earlier people coming. You didn't know you had some supporters out there and stuff.
Yeah.
Which kind of works into today's TED Talk because it's like, look, it's okay to ask for help from people. You know, it could be something small. It could be something big. Maybe you just need to talk to them. But I would also say, see the reaction from some people. You know what I mean? It's very easy to always say, hey, you need anything, you let me know. But sometimes you let people know. And that'll really help. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's good to ask for help, but also let's pay attention. Who's actually helping?
Read the room.
Right. It's easy when Steve Miggs is in AEW for me to show up and be like, oh, man, you know, like, I've been there since day one and stuff. Like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. I never watched you train. Never, right. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen you wrestle a bunch, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just remember that with, like, the boxing stuff. People was like, you know, like, oh, this and that. It's like, right, well, I asked for people to help. I need people to come watch me train. We need crowd noise. And people didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, you can learn. Like, it's very easy to say that stuff. Like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you know? I don't typically, like, when those kind of situations happen, I'm never, like, you get disappointed in some people. But I would be like, my mental note, that's someone that, like, that they're just at that point in my life. You know what I mean?
Correct. And it doesn't.
It's something like, I'm not going to be mad at you. But now I understand that that's where we're at as far as our friendship is only going to hit this point. And it could change, but at this very moment, that's where it's at.
Yeah. And you know this. I don't know how to explain it. Somehow at 42, I'm busier than I've ever been.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like sometimes, like an angel for saying this, we have a pretty active social life. But some I'm just like, now. You're like, what? Like, that's one of my things this year. Like, I just got to say no more. And I'm not trying to be mean, but it's like certain people don't, like, it's like, sorry, man. Like, I know we're friends, but like, I don't know. Something
well,
like that.
You're super up for a good time. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're that guy that, like, loves to go out and socialize. And that's not, like, I'm not saying that as, like, a Ted, we need to have a talk. That's, like, a cool thing. That's something I'm not very good at. Like, that. Yeah. That's, like, but I think sometimes you could spread yourself very thin. And no one knows that. But, like, you know, if five people are hitting you up and they're just thinking they're the only person hitting you up to go hang out, like, all of a sudden, like, you're being pulled in many directions.
Yeah.
And dude, it was one of the greatest things for me.
Like, and sometimes I've learned over the years, sometimes too, it's like, are we friends or are you just inviting me as I'm fun to hang out with?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because I'd like to show up to a party once in a while and just kind of chill.
Yeah. Just be quiet in the corner.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you can hang out with me.
Yeah, right.
That's what I do. Just sit there and judge everybody.
Oh, no, you know
me. Do that. But dude, one of the most like freeing things is the ability to just tell somebody no and not make anything like, don't come up with any kind of elaborate excuse like, oh, I just be like, no, nah, man, I'm sorry. And if they ask why, I'd be like, I just want to be at home.
Yeah.
And you're what I find is that you realize who are the good people in your life are the ones that will be like, all right, I totally understand that. As opposed to, come on. You know what I mean? Like, there's been many times where it's like people would hit me up. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. And they're like, well, why not? I'm like, I haven't been home much. And I kind of, they're thinking I'm going to be, I'm like, oh, what are you wrestling? I'm like, no, I have no plans. I have zero plans. And I want to keep it that way.
Right. If you're not wrestling,
I want to be home.
Right.
Right. Like, I sacrificed a lot to do this wrestling thing. And I know that's only going to last maybe another year. And I sacrificed being social with a lot of people in my life. And fortunately, the ones that care about me understand that. And then when we find time to hang out, like you and I, like maybe we'll hang out every once in a while, but it's not like, you know, it's not because I don't want to hang out with you. It's just, I get the kid, I got this, I got that. It's just, it's hard to just make my way into Seattle and meet up. And that's just like, that's just how life is. And one day it might change, you know, I don't know. Like, definitely I'm going to be a lot less busy when the wrestling stops because I'm not going to be training. I'm not going to be doing all that. And that's, like I said, I see the light at the end of that tunnel, you know, or whatever it is. The door is closing eventually. I mean, my body's not going to be able to do it much longer. But yeah, man, it's also funny. Like, sometimes people are like, I barely know. Like, let's hang out. I don't have time. Come on, man. You can't hang out. Like, let's talk. And I'm like, I want to just be like, dude, I don't have time for my closest friends. You think I have time to now add another person to hang out with? Nothing personal, but like, no. Sorry, I'm bitching.
No, it's all right. I started it.
Yeah, way to go. You first cursed, then I cursed, then you start bitching. I start bitching. I blame that guy on Facebook.
I do too.
He's not proud of me because I'm a wrestler.
Oh, here we go. Here's a funny Ed Vedder story.
Okay.
All right. He used to be a bar in West Seattle that Mr. Vedder hung out at a lot. I sat two bar stools down from him with a girl for like 2 hours. And at one point, he even gave one of those, like, this guy knows. Like, he knows what I'm talking about.
Had which no, I've seen I, you do many a times. You'll bring strangers
into
and do every conversation when we're sitting at a bar.
Right. And it was something like, what are you drinking, man? He's like, well, I'm drinking this and that. I'm like, that sounds pretty good. You know what? I'll take one of those. Somebody left the bartender's like, that was Eddie Vedder. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Did I ever tell you my Eddie Vedder story? It's kind of on the same level.
I was going to say, is it as dumb as that?
Yes. And let's not forget, Ted, you're a Pearl Jam fan.
Right.
I'm a obsessed Pearl Jam fan.
Correct.
Right. So it
you know all the Christmas singles?
Oh, I was a member of the, I mean, 10 Club, all that stuff. Like, I mean, they're one of my favorite bands. Like, you know, if I was making a Mount Rushmore, they're always going to be in the top, like, two of those. Like, it's, there's a bunch, you know, obviously your taste change from time to time, but like Pearl Jam's always in my top five, top four, whatever it may be.
I almost forget sometimes that they're a Seattle band.
Right.
Because I think of Nirvana, Alice in Chains, and Soundgarden. Alice in Chains and Soundgarden.
Yeah.
But it's like Pearl Jam.
You don't lump Pearl Jam into that mix?
I just forget to, because I just feel like they're on like a different level.
They are a stadium rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know what I mean? Like, you're right.
Which is crazy to even think.
Yeah.
Some local band is now a stadium band.
Yeah, people follow them around like the dead.
Yes.
I was shocked when we went to the home shows and people were talking about 30-some shows. Like, I didn't even know. And I love Pearl Jam. Like, 10 top to bottom is one of the best albums ever made. But I'm like, you're right. That makes sense. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just think of them that, you know what I mean? Like, they're a massive band.
I remember one of those shows that we were talking to some dude, and I'm just like, he's like, how many Pearl Jam shows have you been to? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I've lost track. It's like 12, 13 or something like that. I'm like, what about you? And I thought he said also like, oh, 12 or 13. I'm like, oh, cool. Same. And he goes, no, 112. And I was like, oh, you're on a whole other level than I am. Yeah. Like, I like Pearl Jam a lot. I don't like them that much. I don't like any band that much. I wish I did, but I don't have that time. That's crazy. That was awesome. I was so impressed. So, you remember there was that documentary about Steve Gleason called, like, No White Flags? You know, real, like, inspirational. The guy that has...
From New Orleans? The football player?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the whole story about him with, like, Lou Gehrig's disease. Is it, I think, ALS?
ALS. But then when they redo the dome, he comes back and blocks that kick to, like, start the season.
Yeah.
They go on to win a Super... Right.
Former Coug as well. Played for Washington State.
Yep.
So, he's got Northwest ties. Big Pearl Jam fan. So he had that big documentary about him called No White Flags, which honestly, I watched the trailer and I was in tears. I'm like, I will not be able to mentally, emotionally handle
it. It's a lot.
No, it's too much. It's an incredible story. I mean, he's a wonderful human being. But so he was there for the screening and the Pearl Jam guys were there as well to show support for him.
All right.
So I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And so Mike McCready sees me. And like I was doing like some like red carpet interviews with John Schneider and other people, random people, right? McCready comes up to me and he's just like, hey, Mr. Steve, how are you doing? Big hug. We're just BSing. While we're BSing, there's just this quiet guy just standing next to us, just nodding and smiling. And I'm like, you know, kind of in the blah, blah, blah. Finally, I'm just like, I'm like, oh, by the way, hi, I'm Steve. He goes, oh, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Ed. I'm like, well, nice to meet you as well. And keep talking with Mike. We're laughing. This guy, again, quietly just standing there, smiling and enjoying the conversation. There's nothing to add to it, but just like, he's just there. And then it just hit me. I'm like, hey, it's short for Eddie. That's Eddie Vedder.
You're right. Our stories are about on par. I'm just like, idiots. What were we doing?
And I mean, I know, you guys, Vicky, she thought it was because she was there and she could see it in my face. The moment when it dawned on me that I've been in like a multiple minute conversation with Mike McCready and Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. McCready's a stud. He's so nice.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was instantly cool with Ed. Yeah, now I call him Ed. Eddie Vedder because I'm there BSing with Mike McCready.
Well, right, because that was the same thing. The bartender was like, yeah, it's Ed. And I'm like, yeah, Ed.
Ed.
It's like, oh, damn it. My name is Edward. I should know that's short.
Mother blanking Eddie Vedder.
Right?
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
Hey, I'm Ed.
The thrill of victory.
Maybe we're just that cool.
The agony of defeat.
You know what? You're right. He's super proud to be me.
Ted Smith's
Wide World of Sports. Brought to you by
Smith Family Popcorn. Good people. Great popcorn.
Ted's wearing the Smith Family Popcorn shirt today. Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Cape Cod. Tell you what, man. Between Smith Family Popcorn and Cobb's, I'm spoiled.
You are.
Somebody randomly bought me a tin for Christmas. You just get those tins anywhere.
Oh, right from the Boy Scouts.
Well, maybe. I know the Boy Scouts, they got some bag stuff that's okay. The tin stuff, it's just not as good.
No.
Like, I've gotten to the point now where I can chew it and go, yeah, it's been unsealed too long. It's too chewy.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. First, obviously, Hawks lost.
Well, not to that, but to a great season.
That was a hell of a season. A lot of fun. Next year will be completely different because we'll have expectations and this and that.
Yeah, so what do you do? Do you sign Geno? What are you thinking about a fifth-round pick? You think it'd go more towards defense? I feel like we need a guy that could just freaking disrupt things and get some sacks. And I don't know if that guy's available at the fifth spot.
That's a tough call. I do think you need... You do need... Like, look, in this day and age in NFL, you need that D end.
Yes.
But also, if you're going to run the defense they ran this year, like a 3-4, you need an absolute stud.
Yes.
At zero, you know, that nose guard or nose tackle, whatever, zero technique, whatever you want to call them. Like, you need those. You need a linebacker.
You need a lot of defensive help.
Right, because last year you did great kind of shoring up the line. Yeah, I don't, you know what, that's a tough call. But there's some good quarterbacks in this draft, so who knows. But also, I mean, look at Purdy. Like, look at Russell Wilson when he got here. He was, a third-round pick? Like, you could find quarterbacks in the third round.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that a top five draft pick as a quarterback is going to mean that you're going to be an NFL stud.
Now, I do agree with when you're in the top 10, top, like, first round, like, you got to, like, I'm all for smaller, shorter quarterbacks and stuff as a short person, but, like, you need to draft somebody that looks like an NFL player that high.
Like a stud.
Yeah, sometimes you just got it. Like, we need that big-bodied, like, I want a guy that looks like the fifth overall pick.
Like Tua. Like that kind of look.
Like Tua.
He looks like a dude.
Tagovailoa?
Yeah.
He's too short.
How short is he?
He's like my height.
No, he's not.
I don't think Tua's 6 foot.
I thought he was like 6'3".
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, he presents himself very tall.
I will say the good news for the Tagovailoa family, though, is his brother's coming back to Maryland for his senior year.
Wow. I, you know, all this time, I thought that for sure he was over 6 foot.
I might be wrong. I could have sworn he's 6'1". All right.
Yeah. Which, well, I thought he was 6'3".
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I thought he was a lot taller. He must wear, like, platform cleats.
I just know people give him crap for being smaller and stuff. But I'm just like, yeah, I would draft... You know, I haven't looked at a draft board yet, so I'm not positive. I just know there's some good quarterbacks coming out, but yeah, you want a stud DN guy.
Yeah.
You need that guy. I mean, look around the league, right? I mean, J.J. Watt's retiring, but you have his brother, you have Bosa.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even thinking, who's the guy from the Raiders? Like, you need one of those guys now. You need a...
That would have been a game changer in that game against the 49ers. There were a few times where Purdy, it looked like he was about to get sacked, but we just didn't have that guy that could just, like...
Right, you need an Aaron Donald. Like,
yes.
You in this day and age, you need those guys. 100%. So, all right. So, Hawks over. Fun time. I want to ask you this question: why can't the Kraken win at home?
Well, I think we got to kind of. Dude, they just got back from a really long, draining road trip where they won seven
in a row,
or eight in a row, technically including the home one before that, but seven
right.
on the road, and then you had to play a game in the afternoon. Those legs were tired.
Yeah.
And I mean, Grubauer kept them in that game. That game would have been, I think, a mess if it was Jones, just because he was probably just as tired. It was smart to play Grubauer, let him rest. But man, I mean, that game was, it said 4-1, but it was 2-1, really. A couple empty net goals. And then you got to go off to Edmonton the next day.
I know, that's what sucks.
Dude.
Like, man, going up to Edmonton, it's not fun.
Against that team that's been on a hot streak a little bit recently, and you know, you got McDavid and Drysdale.
Is Connor McDavid the best player in the league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it before. His highlights show up all the time.
He's just a man amongst boys. It's insane.
The main thing is, I said this last year, is I went to a couple games as the season was kind of out of reach, mm-hmm. and a couple Friday night games. They were still a lot of fun. I'm like, man, this year.
It's going to be hopping.
Oh, my God. You get a month or two from now, and you know what I mean? They're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those Friday night, Saturday night games are going to be loud and rocking in there. And I can't wait.
The weekday ones, I think. Like, tomorrow, Danny V and I, we're going into one against the Devils, and we'll see how it is. I mean, but you're right. Like, the weekend games are going to be nuts.
Yeah, there's just something about, I've said this before, but like, it's very rare in the NFL unless it's Monday night, right? Like, MLS will do it sometimes. You get, like, I think there's a lot of them this year. You get, like, a Saturday night, 7:30 or 8 o'clock, when you have a pro sporting event starting at that time of day on a Saturday, like, the crowd's going to be ruckus.
Oh, yeah. People drinking. They're high on this team. Team's playing good. It's going to be a blast, dude. And, yeah, I think they're going to be fine. Although I did, like, someone on Facebook had a good idea that maybe the fans need to boo the team so they feel like they're playing on the road. So
it's
that
just
could be
right,
our thing.
And I'm not talking. It's just funny that it seems like they can't win at home.
I know, dude. They played so good on the road.
Yeah,
they played so good against that game against Boston was like felt like a playoff game. I'm like, this is so much fun. So, yeah, I think they're gonna be good, man. I think they got like five games at home. We got a little rest hopefully today and come out tomorrow and beat the Devils, which feels weird saying as a Devils fan.
It's also too. I don't know, but I remember the Sounders first couple years. Like, they had trouble winning at home. Because people were so hyped to get into town and play there.
That's a good point.
So, like, with the Kraken, like, it's only the second year. And, like, that arena's so nice. Like, it's usually rocking and rolling. I bet the other teams are kind of like, you know what? Let's shut them up.
You know, I never thought about that, but I know that happens in football, and you're absolutely right. Like, there's probably a lot of players that want to be the heels in a go back to wrestling. But you know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, let's give them a reason to be quiet.
Correct, right?
That's
you know.
A good point. No, you're right.
You played organized. Like, with somebody else, like, even in beer league hockey, right? Or
oh, it was always the best when we play against teams that brought all their girlfriends.
Yes! So
and
indoor.
Crush them.
Indoor was the same. There was always one team that brought all their girlfriends, and they'd be talking trash and this and that. It's like,
fun drinking in the bench and the bleachers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's like four, there's like us just surly donkeys just beating their team. Like, how you like your boyfriends now? Oh, you still like them. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm going to hit them with my stick.
Yeah.
That gay misconduct was for you.
Yeah. Sweet cheeks.
Other than that, I would just say, hey, man, I don't know what you're doing this weekend, people, but like, watch those football games. We're running out.
I know.
We're running out of NFL games. It's kind of sad. It's like, it's more exciting, right? Because it's the playoffs, but it's like, yeah, it is kind of sad.
It's dwindling down. You know, it's crazy when you're like, oh, there's only one game at this time slot. Oh, there's only going to be one game that's happening on this day. Like, that's kind of nuts to think.
Yeah, right? Like, Sunday was great.
Oh, Ted, the XFL's right around the corner. Don't you like the XFL? Sorry.
I do like the XFL. People are just like, what games are you going to? I'm like, I'm not making plans to go to XFL.
I haven't even thought about it.
Right, the first one they had, like, they gave us tickets. I was like, cool, let's go have fun, blah, blah,
blah.
That
was cool. They put us in that suite on the field.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
But yeah, people keep asking me and stuff. I'm like, I did not buy tickets. I am not planning. Like, And I haven't talked about it. Like, I got stuff going on. Like, I can't just, I can't, I book out enough weekends for NFL and college football. I can't be booking out spring football.
Well, Ted and I, in order to have our annual slumber party, we had to book it on a weeknight.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's how crazy Ted's schedule is.
And it was absolutely freezing.
It was so cold. We picked the coldest day of the year.
Right? And there was still ice on the streets.
My wife, like,
nobody was
guys,
out.
My wife's like, did you guys hit the bars? I'm like, after we ate dinner? No, we tried. And then we just went back to Ted's place. It was cool. It was a lot warmer there.
Right. We went to one bar. And it was like the karaoke girl started singing.
Out.
Right. And then people started leaving. I just looked at Steve. I was like, hey, man, you cool? Like, I got plenty of beer and stuff. Like, let's just go about
our house. I was like, I got a bottle of Pink Whitney. Let's do it. Let's watch YouTube videos. Let's do what we usually do, Ted. And real quick. What do you think is going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys kicker? Will he hit an extra point in this next game? Or what? That was one of the greatest things ever that they didn't need him. But man, that was infuriating, I bet, for a player.
I mean, I think he broke, right? He got the yips. Like, I said this on my podcast, honestly. I feel horrible saying it. It's a man's career and this and that. Like, I just don't know if mentally he can get back. And you got to go to San Francisco, who we all know is a very tough team. Now that they beat the Seahawks, like, I think San Francisco's going to the Super Bowl. By the way, thanks to everybody that came out to Allegiant. That was actually pretty fun.
Yeah. I agree about San Fran.
Yeah. I'm just like, dude, you need those points. Like, Tampa Bay looked like a sub-500 team with a 45-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
They suck so bad, those extra points didn't matter. But like, if I'm the Cowboys and if I'm the other teammates, like, I'm not going to feel confident. I'm sure he bangs them through in practice, but it's like,
something's in his head.
It is, because it's not like it was bad form or this or that. I mean, you know, like goalies.
I was about to say, we talked about this morning, goalies and field goal kickers, although one is way more important to their team, psychologically, almost exactly the same.
Right, and you know, like, you could watch a hockey game, you could watch two goaltenders both give up four goals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one guy, there might be some amazing shots, there's traffic in front. The other guy, the last three goals that went in, he's just out of it. And you're like, all right, get him off the ice, we need to put somebody. So that's what worries me with that kicker. It's like, I don't know that you can remember he missed one to end the season.
Yep.
And then he missed four in that game.
Yep. And so, dude, it was like that game against the Blackhawks, I think it was, where the Kraken scored like six goals on the first seven shots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, everybody right now is watching what it's like to watch a beer league game. Sometimes that will happen. But it's like when you get in your head, like that's what we were talking about this morning. I'm like, it's so hard to predict with goalies. Like, that's why this whole Martin Jones thing is just crazy right now with the Kraken, because he was brought in as insurance, but he's emerged himself as being the number one goalie, which is going to be very complicated when Drieger comes back. Like, you got to figure out one of them's got to go. And sadly, the one that's not locked in with a massive contract is Jones. And you can't get rid of him because he's your best goalie. So it's such a weird situation that's going on right now with the Kraken.
Right, and again, the reigning champs were substituting goaltenders last year in the damn Stanley Cup Finals.
Right. I mean, you just don't know. You go with the hot goalie, and sometimes a goalie will just have a complete red rotten season, and you're like, well, he's done. And then he either changed of scenery or he whatever happens, comes back, he's a Vezina competitor. You're like, what the hell? It's the same goalie, same skill set. Something in the head, though, in between the ears.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. All right, I know you got to go.
Yeah, man.
Anything going on besides watching football this weekend?
I am not.
Nice.
Yeah, what about you? Where are you wrestling, Steve?
I'm not wrestling. Ring announcing. Defy, Friday night. We're in Tacoma at that Alma place.
All right.
Which is really a cool spot. It's a smaller venue than like Washington Hall. It's a standing room only vibe. So it's got a cool, different vibe than Washington Hall. Definitely a little bit more intimate, but there's going to be some great wrestlers. The Dark Order from AEW is going to be there. Marina Shafir is also going to be there, former MMA fighter that's now a part of AEW as well, and she's badass.
All right.
A lot of great local talent, as always, are going to be there as well. So, and yours truly, in between each match, telling you what match is about to happen. I'll be saying names all night long.
Get it, Steve.
You know it. I do it like none other. Yeah. Hopefully I don't blow out my voice.
Yeah, right.
As long as Jake Hager doesn't show up and murder me. All right. You can follow us on Twitter at the Megacast.
Yeah, man.
Goodbye.